We're going to talk about hope this morning. And you may have thought, I got it. I mean, I know hope. So I got this one down. All right. So not Hope Ruffner, even though it would be awesome to talk about hope and study your life and share what we can learn from that. So now we're going to talk about the virtue of hope. And I'll explain a little bit more, but before we dive in, let's go ahead and pray and just pause and reflect. I am, like, energized from that video, watching that video. Good job, Aaron Reed. I don't know wherever you are. But I'm, like, pumped, and I'm, like, wanting to talk really fast, but I'm like, wait, I got to slow down a little bit. That was great. Definitely lots of energy. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I praise you for all you've done for us. I praise you for truly taking good care of us, allowing us to be born here in the United States or just growing up here where we can gather together freely, talk about you, share what you are doing in our life. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word this morning, that we would be able to encourage each other, Lord. I pray that you would use me and give me the words to say, Lord, that I can share and just give me clarity of thought as I share what I've studied from your word and continue to learn from it. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to be alert. Many of us are tired. Give us energy for these next few minutes. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I think about hope, a lot comes to mind. I actually felt kind of overwhelmed when I thought of the topic. I'm like, the other hope. And all there is to say and just kind of what I've heard in the past, what people have taught me, and I'm like, where am I supposed to go with this? I wasn't quite sure, so I studied, and there's so many passages in the Bible. But let me just kind of back up. So let's just dwell on the subject of hope and kind of what comes to mind and just kind of think about it. Well, so when I found out that I was going to be talking about hope, I had recently become addicted to this new show that no longer is airing, but it's called Prison Break. So I kind of came on a little slow, and so I heard about it. It was a show that Abby and I have talked about in the past. We're like, hey, let's find a new show. We went through all the seasons of Alias a couple years ago now. This was right when we got married, and we became little hermits, and we're sitting in our house watching episode after episode, and I was like, well, let's just find a new show. That was a great bonding time. And So I decided for my birthday, used some of my birthday money to subscribe to Netflix and check out Prison Break. And so I watched one episode, two episodes, and then I was hooked. I was like, man, this is great. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. If Tim Daly is here, he knows what I mean. He watched, I think, all four seasons in 1 week. So that's crazy. So I was watching, I was like, man, this is crazy. Every episode is just, I just can't wait until the next. And I'm just like, oh, it was great. It was great. So obviously Prison Break, the name. So let me kind of give you a little background. I didn't know what it was about. I don't know, 2 months ago, I had no idea what the whole plot line was. But as the name says, Prison Break, some people are trying to get out of prison. So this man, Lincoln Boros, is in prison. Falsely accused. Okay, so the government, whatever, cooperated together, and they just kind of basically set him up, and he's the scapegoat, so he's in prison. His brother, Michael Scofield, is determined to get him out of prison. So he goes through this elaborate plan, thoroughly developed. He tattoos basically the blueprints of the prison on his body. Since he's a technical engineer, whatever, he got a hold of the plans because he helped kind of design it, as far as from what I understand. So he tattooed the blueprints on there, masked by another image, and so it's kind of cryptic, whatever, how to get out. And so he lands himself in prison so that he can help his brother rescue, or he can help rescue his brother, together with a couple other convicts that they need their help to kind of get parts and pieces. And if any of you are familiar with prison life, at least from TV or read about it, you know that you don't, they just don't hand you the tools. So Anyhow, so I'm going to show you a 4-minute clip. Let's go ahead and check out at a high point of season one when these guys are trying to escape.
Hands where I can see him. I said, put your hands where I can see him.
All fixed. What do you say, you two hit the road? You two hit the road right now. We're gonna have a problem.
Use this.
Talk to me.
It can't be done.
What?
It's too thick. I'm so sorry. We're not getting out of here.
All right, so that's definitely a climax point. So these guys had everything lined up. They had a small window to get out of prison, and everything had to line up. And that pipe, that steel pipe, they had corroded through it with some acid, and it took some time before the acid ate away at all, but somehow somebody saw it, replaced it, and that was their only escape at the time. And so definitely a heated moment. There were tensions. There was definitely a lot of tension. And for them, they lost all hope to escape. And the penalty was, if they get caught, the cop was walking by, or the guard was walking by, if they get caught, then another 10 years would be added to their sentence. So there was a lot at stake for them. So I was thinking about that. I was like, wow, sometimes we feel like we lose all hope. We have a plan. We think we have it figured out. There's something that we want to get accomplished, and all of a sudden it's shattered, and we feel like, I feel hopeless. There's another TV show. It's called I Shouldn't Be Alive. And I think it's on Discovery Channel. And Ab and I used to watch it, and it was just very interesting. And it talked about, showed these people, they were either stranded out in the desert, lost at sea, alone, nobody in sight for miles, or in some ridiculous situation, trapped under an ATV, where they end up surviving miraculously. And it's all replayed, kind of reenacted and stuff, but it's just super interesting. But these people panicking because they either have no water or there's no hope in sight to be rescued. They feel and they believe that they are going to die wherever they are. There's another area or category is, I just call it hope for the cure. Thousands, perhaps millions of people in the United States alone every year are waiting on some type of cure for something. Maybe the doctors know what it is, have diagnosed it, but they don't quite have a cure, or the medication isn't working like they had hoped. And so they're lying there in the hospital or on their deathbed, hopeless, because nothing can be done. Maybe it's too late. They've already depleted their options, or who knows what it is. And sometimes people just feel hopeless. So we don't have to go that far to find hopeless situations. Many of us feel here at home, here in our comfort zone, going to school every day or waking up in the morning, and we have great homes that we live in. But sometimes there are situations that we end up in, circumstances that happen, pain or whatever it is, where we feel we are hopeless. Nothing can be done. We feel there is no way out. We are perhaps depressed or retreat from all society. And that waiting period is what is difficult. That waiting period until we find hope, until something happens, something changes. There's a couple examples just from my life where, no, it wasn't anything extreme, but where I felt like, man, I'm really hoping for something, and I was hoping really hard that something would change. One was when I graduated from college, I majored in computer science, and I moved up to this area. Halfway through my computer science degree, maybe year two, I realized, man, I'm with a bunch of nerds. Like, they love this stuff, and I just don't love the code like they do. I mean, they are like the Matrix, and they think it through. And so they were my best friends, because I was like, hey, let's sit down and help me out here. I just am not getting it the way you are. And anyhow, so I graduate. I just stuck with a degree because I just wanted to finish college. And so I move up here to the Northern Virginia area, and I'm a computer programmer. I'm doing web programming, sitting behind a monitor 8 hours a day, talking with a few other nerds and some managers that manage us. I'm like, this is not what I want to be doing in 10 years. I don't want to be programming, doing code, isolating myself. And some guys just love it. And thankfully we have guys like that that are great at it. And I was like, well, so what I hoped for was to find a job or a career that was fulfilling. Something that where I was being used right where I was gifted. And that just filled me. That was hope. Something that I hoped for, a job or career that was fulfilling, different line of work. Another area was, I was a single guy. I was hoping for just a good, godly Christian wife. I hoped for all through college. Many people, you know, go through college and they, you know, find a girlfriend. At least they have some hope because they have a girlfriend and they're steady. And even if they continue dating for a couple years, at least they have some hope. hope in sight because they have a girl. And so I was hoping to find a good godly Christian wife. So I dated around a lot and date here, date there, went broke because you spend so much money on, and I just ran out of ideas because I felt personally, I felt like I couldn't repeat the same date or idea. Even if it's a different girl, I didn't want her asking like, oh, you done this before? Yeah. So I felt like I had to come up with new ideas. So even up to the point where I was like, you know, God, I'm going to take a year off from dating. As hard as that is, it was good. It was healthy. I needed that because I was finding some fulfillment in just going on dates. It was almost like a false hope in the sense like, well, at least I'm closer than where I was. So I took a year off from dating. Friday nights to be hanging out with my best friend Ben, which was weird. It was so new to me. I was like, wow, I'm hanging here at home on a Friday night. How pathetic is this? But it was good. It was very helpful. And sure enough, 2008, fall of 2008, I met Abby, and it went quick. I knew she was the one. I was like, okay, done. 6 months later, we get married, and I was like, okay, all right. Another area was, you know, a couple years ago, several years ago now, my best friend Ben that I talked about, there was some time before I met him, well, I had many friends, but I felt like they're all surface friends. I felt like, man, these are just not, we're not going deep and saying just the hard stuff and somebody else saying the hard stuff to me. And so I prayed, hoped and prayed that I would find a good, solid friend, that we would challenge each other, sharpen each other. And sure enough, that came along. And so those are just three examples of so many more, and I'm sure you have a billion of examples. And that's why I want to give you now 2 minutes at your table to share with the people at your table, what are some things that you hope for? Currently, right now, what are some things that you hope for? Whether it's some career, whether it's getting in some school, whether it's something changing at home. You got 2 minutes, so what are some things that you hope for? And have you ever been in a hopeless situation? Go. All right, time's up. I know you could go on for 20 minutes. Some of you girls probably for the next hour. So let me just dwell on the hopeless situation. Let me hear one example. Somebody that shared that wouldn't mind sharing here with all of us. What was a hopeless situation that you felt you were in? Or, yeah. Does anybody want to share? Yeah, go ahead, Rachel. Thanks for sharing. So when you feel like you're in a hopeless situation, how does that make you feel? Sad?
Hopeless?
Hopeless? Okay, depressed?
Afraid?
Questioning? You have questions, you don't understand. Okay? Bitter, alone, desperate, angry. Did two people say angry at once? Jinx. Yeah, maybe careless. Maybe you've gotten to the point where you're just like, you know, it's pointless. There is no use. I don't even care about it now. And you become a little apathetic towards life or other things, because you can't figure that out. And that's true. That is how we as humans feel by nature. That's how the world feels when they feel hopeless. And that's why the hope that I want to talk to you about this morning is so big. It's such a big deal. And we're going to turn to Romans chapter 5 this morning. And we're going to focus at the first five verses. And this morning, I want to talk about a hope that gives you peace, confidence, and a good reason to live. A reason to live beyond yourself, beyond what you see as your purpose for living. It goes past that. And that's the hope that I want to talk about. We can go to the next slide, and I have it up here on the screen for those of you who don't have a Bible, and I don't know if you can read that really well from the back. Okay, so let me go ahead and read that. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, justified means made righteous, okay? We receive God's perfection. It's placed to our account. We are justified. That's big. Since we have been justified, okay, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we gain access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Let me explain. We have peace, okay? We now feel different than everybody else because we've been made righteous. We can now experience peace, true peace. The world looks for peace. Right? If any of you have taken part in a pageant, the popular thing to say is world peace, right? But the world, these countries want it. They try so hard, but they're never going to experience it. They may have temporary peace, right? No current war going on, but we won't experience peace. They're looking for the wrong kind of peace. There is a world on terror. And it says, through whom we have gained access by faith. Access to whom? So we, through whom, it's talking about Jesus Christ, we've gained access to God. That's what we're looking for. Deep down, written on our hearts, is that desire to know God. There is someone bigger than us. And you know what? We don't experience that peace until we know and have that settled. It's like, question of life. Why am I here? Everybody wants to know that, but we have access through God, to God, through Jesus, into this grace. Grace, is getting something we don't deserve. That act of justification, being made righteous, we don't deserve it. Okay, let's continue. By which we now stand, and we boast, and here the version up there, it says, okay, boast is up there, in some versions it says rejoice, and we rejoice, we boast, okay? We have a reason to boast about it. It's not in us, because it's nothing that we did, it's in Christ. And so that's okay to boast about that. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Suffering produces perseverance. How does suffering produce perseverance? Well, this is this process, this journey where we experience suffering, okay, and we learn something more about ourselves. We learn something more about God. We're changed through that. Everything that happens to us is something that God allows to happen, okay? Sometimes we step out of God's will and do something that he didn't want for us, but that can be redeemed. So we learn through those sufferings, pain, perseverance. Know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We learned about that this week, that when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Fully, 100%. We get everything, the entire Holy Spirit. And so we have hope in the glory of God, knowing the glory of God is, it's kind of twofold. I looked up in some commentaries about that. Does it just mean heaven? It can mean heaven, okay? We have hope in the glory of God that we will be with Christ one day. This life is very short compared to eternity. But we have hope that we will be with Christ, we'll experience no more pain, no more suffering, no more backstabbing, being used, abused, mistreated, offended, right? Accused for no reason. We may be innocent, but people accuse us, falsely accuse us. That's hope. And we also have hope knowing that his purpose will be fulfilled. He has a purpose for us, and it will be fulfilled. And he has a plan. So the proper definition of hope, so the world's definition is a feeling, so hope is a feeling that what is wanted will happen, right? So, oh, I want that really bad, and so I just hope that it will happen. But the proper definition pulled from a Bible dictionary is that biblical hope is the anticipation or expectation of a favorable outcome under God's guidance. More specifically, hope is the confidence that what God has done for us in the past guarantees our participation in what God will do in the future. So, not only is hope something that we hope for, not seeing, it's something that's unseen, but we're also trusting. We've seen God work already, but we're hoping that he has much more for us, and that how he has provided and taken care of us in the past will continue. So it's closely linked with trust. Titus 1:2, I have it up here. You don't need to turn to it, but it says, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Hope of eternal life. Many people here on this earth, in the world, think that it ends when they're buried. Somehow they feel like, man, it's got to continue. It just seems so shallow if it stops right here, but Christ promised it from the beginning. That's why he came to this earth to die for us, to give us hope, okay? And there is a solution to the problem. In Romans 5, it says, we have confidence, we have peace through knowing that, but because we know that, we can boast. That gives us boldness and confidence. Many people say, oh, you can't be confident in knowing that you have the truth or that you know the truth. No one knows the truth. They somehow deny the absolute truth, and they don't have confidence. They hope, but they don't have confidence in it. They think so, but yet they're listening like, oh, maybe he has a little edge on something. Maybe he knows something that I don't know. And so they're longing, they're reaching out for, oh, man, I just wish I knew for sure that what I'm believing, what I'm living for, is worth living for. That's what they want. But that's what God gives us. Not something that I give you. It's something that God gives us and that the Word talks about. But you may ask, but what if this is all wrong? Okay? What if, so this is just a lie and I can't believe it. It's interesting, the Bible actually talks about it in 1 Corinthians 15:19. And it says, you can read up here on the screen, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Why? Well, because we're sold out to something that's not true. If Christ, Jesus Christ, did not raise from the dead, we have nothing. All we were doing is just living good moral lives, but it stops right there. And that would be pretty sad. Imagine all the stuff that you sacrifice from because you believe, well, I'm living for Christ, and he says I shouldn't do it because there's no return, no lasting, long return. There's no true joy in that, and we sacrifice from that and live good, upright lives. That would be pretty sad. But he's not saying, well, that's the case. He's saying, man, that would be pretty sad. What a life would that be? If there is no resurrection, then Christ was not raised. He was not raised, and if he was not raised, there is no gospel to preach. And if there is no gospel, then you have believed in vain, and you are still in your sins. But thankfully, we have hope in Christ, and you can go through and study it. And I don't have time this morning to go through all the passages, but there are many. You can go through and study the hope. You can go to BibleGateway.org or .com, and you can type in hope, and it'll list you all the verses where it's found. And there are many. And you can study hope and see the hope that we can experience through knowing Christ, putting our faith in him so that we are made righteous. But the thing is, I say this, and many of you may have heard it many times before, but I say this to remind you guys and remind myself that some of us forget what we have in Christ and return to our old way of thinking. We think, oh, well, let me just take it into my own hands and just kind of work it out. I can work out my own career. I got this. It was great. Scott Tomlinson, I was riding in the car with him yesterday, and he was telling me just kind of how God just moved around his plans of his whole career. And so he was at the Air Force Academy just excelling beyond all the other candidates. I don't know what they call the cadets. I don't know what they call the people at the Air Force Academy. Anyhow, just far exceeding all of them. And he had his plans, and he wanted to fly, and that was his goal. But at the end, he was made a navigator. And he was like, what? I mean, I have like flying colors, and why can't I fly? And he got a waiver for his eyesight because it was a little weaker. And he ended up moving over, becoming a Marine, but he said all through all that he saw how God had a plan for his, and he was trying really hard to do what he had planned, but that's what many of us do. We may not join the military, but we have plans. We're like, oh yeah, I can do this. So my question to you is, have you experienced this kind of hope that gives you peace, confidence, and a good reason for living? Have you experienced it yet? Have you put your trust, your faith in Christ and said, look, I want that. I want that for my life. So where does God come in when you think about your plans and future hopes and dreams? Do you only call out to him when your plans aren't working out the way you had hoped? So, question for you, and you can discuss this at your tables. What makes hoping in God difficult? And why do we sometimes forget what we have in Christ and trust in our own plans? Okay. Not everybody has to share. Just kind of go around the table. You got a minute. Oh. What makes hoping in God difficult, and why do we sometimes forget what we have in Christ and trust our own plans? I think we have it up on the screen, Michael. Oh, maybe I just didn't type it up this morning. All right. Sorry. Yeah, that's okay. We're gonna, we'll just leave it. The second one was, why do we sometimes forget what we have in Christ? Trust your own plans. But we can actually stop right there. Sorry, I've been a little over time. I'm going to wrap this up. But I just want to remind you that when we hope in God, we will experience peace, confidence, knowing the truth, and we have a good reason to live. And the Bible says there in Romans and also says in Philippians, it says, those who hope in God will never be put to shame. Have you ever believed something and fought for something that you end up finding out later, a couple years later, was not true? Remember the whole spinach deal that years ago they said spinach is so healthy, but they end up finding out, I know this seems like a tangent, but they end up discovering that the decimal was wrongly placed and spinach wasn't as healthy as they thought. Or maybe you've believed something, studied from the Bible, or you repeated something that somebody else told you. You fought for it. You argued it. And then you study in the Bible and you realize, the Bible actually says something different. That's happened to me. But you know, when we put our hope in God, we won't be put to shame. It won't all of a sudden come find out, I look foolish now. I was putting my hope in God. That isn't one of those things. We will not be put to shame, and you can trust in that. What I ask that you would think as we walk out of here today is, what is God asking you to do with what you just heard? And let me go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I praise you for the hope that you give. The confidence that we can have in knowing you, and that we can sleep at night and rest assured knowing that we have a relationship with you. We have access to God. And Lord, that you give us a reason to live for. And Lord, I just pray that we would figure it out ourselves and wrestle with this issue, that we would just quit putting our trust in our own things and our own plan, put our hope in you. And Lord, that we would tell others about it, that you would give us this excitement and joy. And may the world see it and ask where our joy comes from. Lord, I just pray that you would just help us throughout this week, Lord, that we would get caught up on rest and just give us a great, awesome rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.